The war in the Middle East is already affecting the cost of things like oil and gas, with those prices spiking in the past few months. And now, experts warn food prices could be next. It's Tuesday, April 14th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, data centers were front of mind for some voters when they cast their ballots last week, especially in Menominee, where a new mayor has been elected. And honeybee colonies have been dying off in recent years, including in Wisconsin. Now a federal research program that's been studying possible solutions is scheduled to close.
Right now, we're worried as much about the bees as we are about the beekeepers.
Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Elkins, and I'm hosting a Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin-sponsored tour with Holiday Vacations. This fall, 2026, we'll cruise the musical Danube River, starting in Budapest and then sailing aboard an Amadeus ship to Vienna and Salzburg, and ending in Prague. Join us for this incredible journey. Our adventure begins at wpr.org/travel.
Food prices are expected to increase over the course of this year, especially since the war in Iran has driven up the cost of fuel and fertilizer. As WPR's Hope Kerwin reports for Harvest Public Media, food supply chains are reeling from several years of economic uncertainty.
Grocery store prices are expected to increase 3% this year, according to the latest federal forecast. Economist David Ortega from Michigan State University says diesel fuel is critical to food supply chains, from the farm to the grocery store. He says the war in the Middle East is just the latest world event to hit food prices in the last 6 years.
They tend to rise very quickly when there is a shock, but they are much slower to come down, if they come down at all.
In March, food prices were already up nearly 2% from the same month last year. The cost of fruits and vegetables increased during the month, but most other food categories saw declines from February prices, especially the cost of eggs and meat. I'm Hope Kerwin, Harvest Public Media.
Data centers played a big role in some local elections last week. An anti-data center organizer was the top vote-getter in the Janesville City Council race. And Matthew Crow, no relation by the way, ousted a 16-year incumbent to become mayor-elect of Menominee. That's after community opposition to a proposed development there. Crow said the fight over that data center was a, quote, symptom of other issues motivating voters from both parties.
There are definitely concerns on both sides for various things, and one thing they all agree on, for the most part, is they don't trust AI and they don't trust big tech, you know, and so, and quite frankly, you know, neither do I.
Polling shows Americans are increasingly aware of what data centers are, but they remain split on how they feel about them. Thousands of Wisconsinites have a type of legal protection that's granted to people who came to the country illegally when they were children. As Sarah Lear reports, a newly signed law will let them get many types of occupational licenses.
People enrolled in the Federal Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program are shielded from deportation and can get temporary work authorization. But without a state license, many are barred from holding credentialed jobs in Wisconsin, like nursing or plumbing. During a public hearing earlier this year, Republican Representative Joel Kitchens said that's driving out skilled workers.
We're telling them you have to go to Illinois or Minnesota to join the workforce. I mean, they're likely to become Bears fans, for God's sakes.
Last week, the governor signed bipartisan legislation that allows people with active DACA status to apply for state licenses. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
An investigation is underway after Milwaukee police shot and killed a homicide suspect yesterday. The homicide happened around 5:30 yesterday morning when a 27-year-old was killed and a suspect was identified. Later in the day, police got word of gunshots near 35th and Walnut, and a vehicle seen at the scene of the homicide was also seen at that second shooting. Around 4:45 in the afternoon, police saw the car again and tried chasing it. That suspect vehicle crashed and a man got out and ran on foot. Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman says the suspect shot at officers before they returned fire. Residents in the area told local media outlets they heard dozens of shots being fired. The officers who fired their weapons have been placed on leave while investigation takes place. The attorneys for a prominent pro-Palestinian activist living in Wisconsin are fighting for his release after he was detained by ICE. Salah Sarsour is the president of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee. He grew up in the West Bank, but has been a legal resident of the U.S. for more than 30 years. He was detained by ICE agents late last month. The Department of Homeland Security says he lied on his immigration forms about a past conviction in Israel. But his supporters believe he was arrested because of his pro-Palestinian activism. Othman Ada is the executive director of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee. He says Sarsour spoke to supporters at a rally on Sunday.
He's in high spirits still, and he says that, you know, he will continue to fight for his rights.
Sarsour's legal team has filed a motion to get him out of custody, arguing his detainment is unconstitutional. His first hearing in immigration court is scheduled for April 27th. The Milwaukee Public School District plans to add about 150 teachers and paraprofessionals to classrooms next school year. Corrine Hess reports the positions were announced yesterday, 1 month after Superintendent Brenda Caselius said she planned to cut about 200 non-classroom staff positions.
More than 90% of Milwaukee's fourth graders aren't reading at grade level. Superintendent Caselius says class sizes need to be smaller to help combat the problem.
It is essential that we give our kids a fighting chance where teachers have a reasonable amount of students to teach to read.
Caselius says external audits of the district and meetings with parents both highlighted heavy staffing at central office and less resources going into classrooms. The district's teachers union called the plan a fantasy that will not come to fruition given the current teacher vacancies in MPS. Union officials say there are more than 100 open teaching positions. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, bees play a key role in agriculture by pollinating crops, but honeybee colonies have been hit hard by massive die-offs in recent years. Now, a federal research lab that has studied the problem is scheduled to close. Stay with us.
Help students start and stay writing with Wubensocker, a free multimedia resource from PBS Wisconsin Education and UW-Madison School of Education. Collaborative arts-based activities and lessons are designed to help learners build confidence in writing and see how extraordinary their ideas are. Visit pbswisconsineducation.org to explore the Wubensocker collection today.
And finally, more than a million honeybee colonies have died across the U.S. in recent years, and colony die-offs are continuing. When such disasters strike, U.S. Department of Agriculture researchers step in. But the nation's premier federal bee research lab is now slated to close. And as Harvest Public Media's Macy Byers reports, that could have a big impact on the honeybee industry, including in Wisconsin.
It's a sunny March day in Omaha, Nebraska. In a community garden surrounded by historic downtown buildings, beekeeper Mark Welsh is taking advantage of the nice weather and checking on his honeybee hives.
There's nothing much more relaxing than sitting next to a beehive in the spring, especially, and watching them bring in different colored pollens. You know, you've got red, yellow, brown, blue.
Though Welsh enjoys tending to his bees, last year wasn't so relaxing.
I had 12 hives going into the winter. I lost 9 of them and had 3 left.
Welsh's situation was not unusual. About 1.6 million colonies died across the U.S. in the winter of 2024, affecting everyone from commercial beekeepers to backyard honey producers. Project APIS-M, a bee research nonprofit, also found many beekeepers lost 60 to 80% of their colonies. In times of crisis, beekeepers usually turn to the Beltsville Agricultural Research Center in Maryland. Researchers there have been studying bees since the 1930s.
Normally, the USDA is one of our biggest advocates in our industry.
That's Danielle Downey, Project Apis M's executive director.
That's where we would hear from leadership about how bees are doing, and if there was a crisis, it would be the USDA that really is a big voice about raising awareness and trying to get support for our agriculture.
But she says last year, communication with the USDA, including researchers, was sparse. Communication requests went unanswered, and research findings were not widely shared. Jeff Pettis was a honeybee researcher at the Beltsville facility for 20 years, and he led the bee lab for nearly half that time.
It basically was the crown jewel of all the agricultural research of USDA. Everyone's like, oh, you're lucky you're working in Beltsville. I mean, we were the flagship.
Over the years, Pettis says Beltsville's bee lab has helped tamp down risk in beekeeping with products and research solutions. But last July, the USDA announced it would close the entire facility. Pettis says the announcement couldn't come at a worse time.
Right now, we're worried as much about the bees as we are about the beekeepers. Beekeepers having it to be a viable option to keep bees, and we need them. We need them for apples. We need them for almonds. We need them for clover pollination, all kinds of things.
Though no timeline of the closure has been released, USDA staff will be relocated to other labs. And Pettis says experienced researchers could walk away. In a statement to Harvest Public Media, a USDA spokesperson said the proposed closure saves taxpayer dollars, consolidates resources, and, quote, allows USDA to deliver on its mission to the American people. With the uncertain fate of federal bee research, universities are the next line of defense for disease response and research. Garrett Slater is a honeybee researcher at Texas A&M, which will soon open a disease testing lab funded by the state.
I think at this point, with the federal government being in limbo, that maybe it does come down to the state level and that we need to kind of develop things in a different way than we've always done it.
Slater has also worked as a USDA bee researcher and says the Beltsville facility is a key disaster response hub. But state or regional testing, he says, may be the next best option if its bee lab is dissolved. Back in Omaha, beekeeper Mark Welsh is gearing up for another busy season. In the summer, he spends up to 6 hours a day caring for his hives.
Put it this way, my wife considers herself a bee widow in the summertime. That gives you any idea how long I'm gone.
Testing for mites, feeding the bees, and harvesting honey is a lot of work. But for Welsh, it's worth it. And despite the setbacks, he and his bees aren't giving up. I'm Macy Byers, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including WPR. And of course, we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. Basically, more rain for the next few days. A flood watch is in effect for parts of central Wisconsin until 7 tomorrow morning. A few northern Wisconsin counties in that flood watch as well. High temperatures in the 60s and 70s today with more rain expected to come later this afternoon. That rain continues into the overnight hours where southern Wisconsin could see some strong showers and storms once again. Lows down into the 40s and 50s overnight. And that'll do it for this Tuesday. Glad you could be here and thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Hey, a quick note, I am going to be out for the next few days, but don't you worry, Courtney Everett's got you covered, so you can still tune in each and every weekday morning for all the latest Wisconsin news right here. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.